Well, God bless each and every one of you. We are going to open tonight in Colossians chapter 1. I thought to mention before we go to God's Word that 2 weeks from this Sunday is what the world calls Easter, and what we know as the great time of celebrating the Lord's resurrection, the greatest event in human history. We'll be having a 10:30 fellowship here Sunday, April 17th, and to which you're invited, whether in person or online. But in this time of year, my heart goes to the great topic of the last days of Christ's life, the events that led up to his crucifixion, of him paying the price for all of us, the time of his internment in the earth for 3 days and three nights, and then, of course, of the resurrection. A number of years ago, I did a teaching series. I think it's a total of about 20 teachings, and I don't think any of them are very long, but about 20 different teachings, and it's on my website, muchword.com, entitled Jesus Christ, Our Passover. And I would very much recommend that to any of you that want to study this greatest period of time in human history, sort of the focal point of all human history. And I think it'd be very refreshing if any of you are so inclined. Tonight, we're going to open in Colossians chapter 1 in verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, the word if can be rendered since you continue in the faith, you be grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. I think of that song we sing in fellowship, on my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. Don't get moved away from the hope, because we're on our way to heaven. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. We are no longer Jew nor Gentile, but we're now the church of God. And then verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation or the administration of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Christ's first coming was prophesied in detail in the Old Testament. Christ's second coming is also spoken of often in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But there was a period of time that wasn't revealed, that wasn't known, this age of grace, this period of the mystery. But when it was made known to Paul, it fulfilled or it filled out the Word of God. It made known what this period of time, the administration of God, the administration of the grace of God, the administration of the mystery is all about. And it says in verse 26, even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to all of us, to all Christians. The mystery had been hid, and the reason it was hid, because if Satan had known it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it's now been revealed so that all of God's people can know it. In verse 27, to whom, to the saints, God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 27 has that great phrase describing the gift of Holy Spirit, that it's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. And Christ in you here is referred to as the hope of glory. But let's also remember what the verse begins with, to whom, referring to the saints, to you, being one of God's children, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. God wants you to know the Christ that's in you. God would make it known to you. It's been revealed. Now, the key word in verse 27 is this mystery among the Gentiles, because that Christ would be in believers, specifically in Jews, was not hidden in God. We'll come back here to Colossians 1, but let's go to John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. Remember, Jesus Christ was not sent to the nations, but he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And look what he taught his disciples in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Now, throughout the New Testament, God uses many, many different terms to describe the gift of Holy Spirit. Right here, it's described as the Comforter. It's also referred to as the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be what? In you. The Spirit of God dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Well, what's he teaching them? Christ in you. But remember, this promise was reserved to a small group of people, God's chosen people, Israel. So when we get to Colossians, the mystery is being revealed, the mystery is being taught, and it is among the Gentiles. It's the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, why is Christ in you referred to as the hope of glory? Well, we know that the Christ in you is the gift of Holy Spirit. It's the Comforter. It's all the abilities, everything that comes with the new birth. It's Christ in you. But Christ in you is referred to here as the hope of glory. So how is Christ in you hope? And it's a hope of what? It's a hope of glory. Well, what's that referring to? Well, go to Romans chapter 8. It says in Corinthians that there are three great realities that now abide: faith, hope, and love, believing, hope, and love. Now, they don't mean the same thing. They're different things. Believing is believing God's word for what's available now. But hope is associated with the future. You can see a wonderful explanation of it in Romans 8. It says in verse 24, for we were saved by hope. That's not a good translation. A better one is we were saved to hope. We weren't saved by hope because salvation is currently available. But once you're saved, you are saved to hope. Our salvation is by believing. But we were saved to hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? For if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So hope is the expectation of future good. You know, for us as Christians, the book of Ephesians tells us we have one hope, and that one hope is the return of Christ to gather the church. It then, of course, extends into all the events that follow the gathering together. But our hope is that Christ at any moment is going to return upon a cloud and gather us all together. We're going to get out of here. We're going to get new bodies, new minds. All of our expectation and patient waiting is for that great and glorious day. In Hebrews chapter 11, it compares hope to believing and shows the great relation between believing and hope. You know, it's interesting because Hebrews 11, we oftentimes think of in light of pistis or faith, believing. And it is a great chapter on believing, of the great things that were accomplished by the Old Testament believers when they believed. But remember that throughout this chapter is sprinkled that underlying their believing was their hope of Christ coming. Them looking for a city, them having a patient expectation of good to come, of them even having died before the promise of Christ's coming was brought to pass, but they died in hope. Because they had this great hope, they believed. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith," or believing, "is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." You see, again, it's tied into things that have yet to be seen, just like we read in Romans chapter 8. But believing is the substance. Believing, this word substance could be translated real being or nature, essence, ground, foundation, and it's opposed to an appearance. The word has also been used of the title deed of things purchased. See, our redemption has been purchased by Jesus Christ, and now our believing is the title deed that the things that we hope for will be brought to pass. We know it. It's a surety. It's the real deal. There's a real wonderful translation in the Aramaic. "Now, believing is the assurance concerning those things that are in hope, as if they had in fact happened, and the evidence of those things that are not seen." We can have the full assurance because we have the title deed that Jesus Christ bought our redemption. We hold that title deed. And now, as a result, we believe, and specifically where we got started believing is when we believed we were given the gift of Holy Spirit. You know, they're tied together. It's like because we have Holy Spirit, now we have hope of greater good to come. Look at John chapter 7, please. Now, it's called the hope of glory. And the word glory is a very rich word used in a variety of ways in the Bible. But it has particular meaning in light of Christ in you, the hope, the expectation, the anticipation, the waiting for glory. There's a verse in John chapter 7 that I think speaks very clearly, again, of the tie of Holy Spirit to our hope and future glory. It says, "In the last day," verse 37, "at the last day of the feast, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and," what? "Drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And boy, that's exactly what occurred on the day of Pentecost, isn't it? Is that out of their belly flowed a gush of words a gut here referred to figuratively as out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Christ was not yet what? Glorified. Look at that. Christ was not yet glorified. Well, before the Holy Spirit could be given, what needed to occur? Well, Christ had to pay the price for our sins. Christ had to be interned in a grave for 3 days and three nights. Christ needed to be resurrected. But when he was glorified was when he ascended into heaven. In fact, heaven, it throughout the Bible, is oftentimes referred to as glory. The hope of glory. Jesus Christ was glorified in the ascension. And then as a result, 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, he could send forth the gift of Holy Spirit, and people could then glorify God by speaking in tongues. Out of their belly flowed rivers of living water. So when was Christ glorified? When he ascended into glory. When he ascended from this earth and was received up by the Father and then sent forth the gift of Holy Spirit. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Christ in you is the hope of that glory. You know, the glory that we'll receive when we go to heaven. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, verse 4, shall appear. This is talking about his return to gather the church. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him, where? In glory. See, right now we have Christ within us. We believed, and God gave us that wonderful gift of Holy Spirit. But that's just the beginning. It's really the title deed for what is coming. And that will fully be manifest when we appear with him, where? In glory. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. There's another word that's associated closely with this. It's the Greek word arabon. Some of you might be familiar. But it's a word closely associated with the gift of Holy Spirit. And it means down payment or pledge. Any of you that have ever bought a home should identify with these terms of, you know, you make a bid, your bid is accepted, you make the down payment, and then as you go through escrow and all of that, you come out with a title deed to the property. It's yours. Well, here, this word arabon occurs in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 21. It says, now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is what? God. He's the one that has established us with you in Christ, and he hath anointed us. The word anointed is directly tied to the word Christ. That's what the word Christ means, is anointing. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've been anointed. Who hath also sealed us. Isn't that terrific? He hath sealed us. It's incorruptible seed. You know, that seal will not be broken. He hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So here, the Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit, is referred to as the earnest. And that's that word arabon, which means down payment or pledge. What we have in the new birth is simply the down payment of what's going to come when we get to glory. It's the down payment And so it's called the hope of glory. This word occurs also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So the gift of Holy Spirit is the pledge. It's the down payment. In verse 5, it says, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Now, I'm not a real estate agent, but I believe that oftentimes your down payment on a house is called the earnest money. Well, here that's, you know, what it's referring to, the down payment, the pledge. You know, God has given us a down payment on what we will receive in fullness in glory. It's referred to again in Ephesians chapter 1, this arabon or pledge, down payment. It says, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." There it is again, that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So the Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. It's a little bit of the real thing. It's a little bit of what is going to come in fullness at the time of Christ's return. You know, now stop and think about it. Look at all the incredible benefits and blessings that come with the new birth. The ability to pray perfectly, the ability to worship God perfectly, the assurance that you are a child of God because you speak in tongues, the ability to operate nine manifestations, the assurance that you have eternal life, the verification that the promises in the Word are true because you've received the promise of Holy Spirit. And yet, as big and as great and terrific as Holy Spirit is, something so huge that it'll take us our whole lifetime to learn about, God is saying it's just some, it's just a pledge, it's just a down payment on the fullness to come. God has such great riches in store for us. He's made us so rich in this life. It's the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And yet that's only a little bit of the real thing, because when he returns, the fullness of our redemption will be given to us because we are God's purchased possession. So we have so much to look forward to, and so much to be thankful for in what we've received in the new birth. Heavenly Father, I pray for each person who listens to this teaching for enlightened understanding, that we may know you more intimately, and Father, have that great hope kindled in our hearts as we expect the coming glory. Father, I'm thankful for the men and women and people who are desirous to learn your word and grow and mature in Christ. And Father, may we continue to do that as we come to your word and come to you in prayer and praise, and just patiently wait for that great and glorious day when we'll be gathered together. So Father, thank you for Christ in us, the hope of glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Goodbye, everybody.
Bless you.
God bless you.